Storm Runners, Chapter 20, 11:09 p.m. Chase, Nicole, and Rashawn were standing, crouching actually, so they wouldn't get blown off the road, about 30 feet from the largest gator any of them had ever seen. It looked a lot bigger than 13 feet to Chase, and it hadn't moved an inch during their noisy approach. They had yelled, jumped up and down, and even thrown rocks at it. Chase was certain he'd hit the gator at least twice. "You're the lion tamer," Chase said to Nicole. "What do we do?" "I'm not a lion tamer," Nicole said, "and even if I was, there's a big difference between a lion and a gator." "Yeah," Chase said, "about 8 feet of difference." He looked at Rashawn. "What do you think?" "I've seen a lot of gators, but I've never seen one act like this. Maybe he's dead. I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't easy for him to get up that slippery bank. Gators don't move so good uphill. Especially ones this size." "Fate," Chase said. "What?" Nicole and Rashawn said at the same time. "Fate," Chase repeated. "I mean, what are the chances of a 13-foot gator hauling out onto this levee during a hurricane and dying lengthways across the road at the very moment we need to walk past?" "So you're saying you don't think it's dead?" Nicole said. "I'm saying it doesn't make any difference. Dead or alive, we have to get by this prehistoric speed bump or we're going to die on this road. One way or the other, we're dead." He took the GPS from around his neck and slipped it over Nicole's head. Before they could say anything, he half-walked, half-crawled toward the behemoth angling toward its tail, thinking it would be easier to step over the tail than the body or snout, and the tail couldn't bite him. But gator tails do move. Chase discovered, like armored whips. Just as he was stepping over, the tail came to life, flicking his feet out from under him. The gator's head whipped around and its jaws snapped closed loudly enough to be heard above the howling wind. Chase dove headfirst over the bank and rolled, stopping just before he hit the water. He heard the gator following him over and began scrambling as fast as he could on his hands and knees along the water. He heard a splash behind him and immediately started crawling up the bank, hoping Rashawn was right about how difficult it was for a large gator to get up a slippery hill. When he reached the road, he lay on his back, gasping. Nicole's and Rashawn's worried faces appeared above him. They pulled him to his feet and half-dragged him 50 feet down the road before they had to stop to catch their breath. "That might have been the stupidest thing I've ever seen a human do with a wild animal," Nicole said. "It worked," Chase said. But he knew she was right. He'd have to rank it right up there with leaving the tools in the backyard so his father could get struck by lightning. "We thought the gator ate you," Nicole said. "He wouldn't have eaten me," Rashawn said matter-of-factly, "at least not right away. He would have killed him and buried his body underwater in the mud, then waited for it to rot so he could tear off the soft flesh and gulp it down." "Well, that's a relief," Nicole said. She and Chase started laughing. Rashawn smiled. "I'm not so sure what you two find so funny about alligator eating habits. Lying across the road playing possum is how that gator hunts." She pointed to the spot where the gator had been parked. "There's only one way across this water without swimming. When a deer or some other kind of animal comes along down the road, he just waits and snaps it up when it gets close enough. I bet that's how he got so big and old." "And fast," Chase added. "I've never seen anything move like that." "Speaking of which," Nicole interrupted, "we need to get moving." Chase retrieved his GPS from Nicole's neck and turned it back on. "A little over a mile and we're off the levee. 2 miles after that, we're at your front gate."